JT live in Vegas.
No chance an inaugural expansion hockey team's going to make the playoffs. Stop. They did.
The Knights win the Pacific Division in their inaugural season.
This city must turn into a hockey city on the radio fast. Talked to a friend today and he said, listen, it's all gravy from here on out. I go, you're wrong. It's not all gravy. You didn't get here to lose in the first bleeping round.
He scored! Off through his legs! Carlson, shorthanded!
I'm going to let you act like a hockey town the way they do in Detroit and Boston.
We got to match the intensity that they're going to bring. They have the experience, but we got home ice.
Somebody with a pulse.
This playoff, every game matters.
Here come the Knight fans.
What Vegas is going to bring into that arena is going to be incredible.
Let's act like a hockey town. Let's do our job. Let's go balls out every day for an hour. That's the only radio I do. I'm ready to go. I'm fired up.
Okay, guys, show us what you got.
And now, live from Las Vegas, here's JT the Brick.
How about that sweep, everybody? JT with you. Ready to go. Fox Sports Radio brought to you by Golden Entertainment. Great crowd last night at the Sierra Gold, where I watched part of the game, and head on out to PT's anywhere in the Valley. Get a little break if you're a hockey fan, but no break coming because the road to the Stanley Cup still goes through Las Vegas in the second round as they advanced, and it's good news and it's kind of bad news. The good news is they've advanced and they get some rest. The bad news for us is that we got to kill time, and I don't like killing time on the radio. I like to go all in, so we got to do that today. I want to talk about the significance of the sweep, what it meant to you. Did you go out to that Mandalay Bay watch party last night? Where'd you watch the game, and how did it feel? Especially you season ticket holders that have been calling lately in droves. We appreciate it at 876-1340. Is this your wildest dreams? Because I know most of you did not believe that this was a playoff team, a deep run playoff team, when you put down your credit card for your season tickets or you bought a couple of games in some type of package with your buddies. Now you got a team in the second round of the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs, a team that should be the favorite in the next round, most likely against the Sharks, and a team that's going to be rested going forward. Unbelievable game last night. Congratulations to the Vegas Golden Knights on the sweep. We'll get to that. Frank Harnish is going to join us a little bit later on this hour, near the bottom of the hour or 20 after. He runs the pre and post and the 2 o'clock show. Frank's done a ton of work following this team and carrying a lot of the broadcast here, especially, you know, pre, post, late nights working here. We're going to get his feel for this team moving forward. Tom Loeffler is going to join us coming up here in a few moments. He's Triple G's promoter. Canelo Alvarez today got probably one of the lightest slaps on the wrist in the history of boxing, period. 6 months, retroactive, 6 months suspension for his double contaminated band of an illegal substance, and he'll be able to fight Triple G later on in the year. Very interested in what his promoter has to say. And I'll ask him the tough questions because it's got to feel good and bad. Canelo's getting a slap on the wrist. But if you're in the business of making money and promoting Triple G, you got to have him fight Canelo instead of someone you haven't heard of at the StubHub Center coming up here in a few weeks. So if you're a boxing fan, we got you covered. We got you covered in hockey. And a lot of news in the NFL heading into the draft a week from tomorrow. The draft is in prime time a week from tomorrow. And I sense that there's going to be a lot of movement. There's already been a little bit of movement, but I sense there's going to be more on draft day. I think that there are going to be teams that trade up. We're going to put our head down here over the next, I'd say, 6 or 7 shows, really doing a big job on mock drafts and having the NFL insiders that you count on, especially for the Raiders, as the Raiders come here in 2 more seasons from the Bay Area. I have them all booked and locked and loaded for next week, so it'll be a lot of fun to talk about that. Let's get to the game last night and what it meant and the success of this team to play another low-scoring game. I mean, did you bet the under finally? Did you finally bet the under, or were you waiting for a whole bunch of goals to be scored? The McNabb goal was key because it ended up being the game winner.
Out they come on the left side, shoved forward. Here's Carlson, left wing. Through the circle, drop past Smith to the back door. They score! Knights take a 1-0 lead. Brayden McNabb from the right side scores against his old club.
McNabb scoring that goal. What I've said all year about this team, the first time I saw him play live and watching him on television, is I'm blown away by their chemistry on offense. Defensively, They're not as good as the Kings, technically, but they played as good as Doughty and the rest of the Kings and Martinez and that team did in the last series. But what happens with this offense is it looks like these players truly have eyes in the back of their helmets. When they drop the puck, when they center the pass, when they make the extra pass, someone tends to be wide open, and typically in hockey, it takes a long time to build that chemistry. Some of the greatest players to ever play were on lines where they were like brothers, playing for 3, 4, 6 years in a row, and then you know where your teammate is. How did George McPhee build this team with Gerard Gallant and this coaching staff to get that type of chemistry on offense? Do you see it when you watch the games or you're live? Are you amazed like I am at the way they take advantage? Now, a couple of fans have called me and said, look, JT, you're wrong. This team passes too much. They give up on a lot of shots where they have clear looks and they'll make the extra pass and it'll get deflected. I don't see that as much. I'm just wowed by the way they play offense. This is an offensive scoring team with the best goalie in the entire postseason still playing.
Back to the circle and Kopitar down low. He waits. He shuffles. Needles one in front. Kick save, Fleury. Rebound for Belmar. And he clears the zone up the far side.
Fleury again is unbelievable. You think I'm making it up? I'm not. He'll be the first athlete to get a statue at T-Mobile. We're in the statue phase of sports. I think Staples Center has 11 to 12 statues. Everyone from Chick Hearn, the broadcast legend, to Oscar De La Hoya, who never fought there, to everybody. Everybody gets a statue at Staples Center. If you walk around Staples Center, there's like 11 statues. Elgin Baylor, Magic Johnson, Shaquille O'Neal. You know what I'm saying? Wayne Gretzky has a statue. They all have them. Fleury will be the first athlete in Vegas to have a statue because if he gets a cup or takes this team this deep into the playoffs several years in his career, he will be a decorated athlete in Vegas. And Kopitar, late in the game, had a really good look to tie it up.
And now Theodore picks him up in the right corner. Theodore, the former Duck, going up against a familiar foe in Kopitar. He escapes to the slot. He moves down low. He shoots. Saved by Fleury. Oh, he got it with his left arm. Kopitar denied at point-blank range.
Incredible that Fleury was able to do this. And then you knew there would be. Fortunately, the Kings don't have an offense. As I said throughout the series, they don't have anybody who's great and fast that can get open. And the Knights went into somewhat of a prevent, at least on defense, with Fleury behind them, and they were able to hold on and win.
With 3 seconds left, Kopitar tries to fish it out. Here comes the horn. It's over. It's a sweep for Vegas. The Knights beat the Kings 1-0. 4 straight wins to start their inaugural Stanley Cup playoffs. The Vegas Golden Knights advance.
That's Dan Duver on the call right here on the flagship, the Knights Radio Network. You have to say that you're blown away by this, correct? Yeah, this has to be, to this point, something that no one expected in this city, in this town, to see an expansion team in an inaugural season put up numbers like this and win the way they are winning. That's what's impressing me the most. They can win 1-0. They could beat you 4-3, regular season shootouts, overtimes in the postseason. They come from behind. They hold on to leads. They do everything that they need to do to win. And it's a testament to the chemistry of this team and the way they've been built. So again, for all you Knight fans out there, if you'd like to get through today, like to hear from you. We're going to have a couple of days, at least, into next week to preview what will be round 2 and what will happen next. We'll get into that at 876-1340. Want to play this soundbite from Triple G heading into the first fight against Canelo Alvarez when that fight had all the hype going into what we thought was going to be a brilliant night.
I don't want to talk too much, you know, just I'm ready. I respect Canelo's team. I know this is the biggest day for us, and not for us, for boxing, for this area. Finally, this huge history fight. I see you September 16th.
I thought that Triple G got robbed. I thought that Triple G won the first fight, and now after Canelo's 6-month suspension, Tom Loeffler joins us, Triple G's promoter on Fox Sports Radio. Tom, thanks a lot for joining us, and I got to feel that this is kind of bittersweet because Canelo got off easily, but your fighter will most likely fight him at the end of the year.
Well, you know, we just announced Triple G's next fight. It's still Cinco de Mayo, but it's here in Los Angeles. It's at the StubHub Center. You know, I agree with you. We thought that Triple G won the first fight, and we were looking forward to the rematch. No one was looking forward to the rematch more than Gennady to get Canelo back into the ring. He just got officially his official suspension is 6 months. So if everything goes the right way, May 5 against Vonis Martirosyan, at the StubHub Center, then, you know, we would be in you know, weigh all the options, and hopefully we can make the rematch that the fans are looking for September.
As a very successful boxing promoter, you can never be guaranteed that you're going to have a fight. There could be a hand injury. There could be a suspension for drugs. Anything could happen while you're training here. What is it like now for Gennady knowing that he's got to take care of another fighter and then get back into this elite training eventually for the buildup of Canelo? How's his mindset today with the news?
You know, this is one of those situations where Gennady has to stay sharp. He has to stay focused. He's been in training camp. He was insisting that even though Canelo got suspended, he wanted to still fight May 5, and that was my job to put that together. Vonis Martirosyan, he's a local fighter here. He has very strong support in Los Angeles, and he can't be underestimated. He only has 3 losses to the top fighters that he lost to, and he's never been stopped. So Vonis is very hungry. He wants to come and take Triple G's titles. And, you know, this is one of those fights that if Gennady's not on the top of his game, we're not going to be talking about a rematch or any other fight after May 5.
Tom Loeffler is our guest, Triple G's promoter right here exclusively on Fox Sports Radio. Tom, did you and your fighter believe deep down that Canelo was a cheater and he was looking to get the edge with performance-enhancing drugs?
Look, you know, that's really not our place. To comment on that, you know, the Nevada Commission did do a thorough investigation. They looked through all the information that was submitted by Canelo and by his promotional team, and they made the ruling. He did get suspended, although it was the minimum amount of time. So, you know, we respect the rules of the Nevada Athletic Commission. You know, right now we're focused on May 5, but if there's a way to make the rematch that the fans are demanding, then certainly that would be at the top priority after May 5.
Tom, as we continue here, and I want to be specific because I know you have a fight coming up and we respect the opponent and all that, but this town is hurting right now because we don't have Cinco de Mayo and it's Canelo's fault. And your fighter was prepared. I thought your fighter got robbed. He didn't lose that fight. I thought he got robbed and he clearly won the fight. Now I believe that down the road, you have a unique opportunity to promote this fight with a good guy versus a bad guy. Canelo was a very popular fighter. Mexican-American fighters globally. And now there's a lot of business owners that I know in Vegas that are very upset. A lot of fight fans around the world think their Cinco de Mayo weekend got robbed because of this because they wanted to see it. Do you sense that if you get that fight again with Canelo, that it will be an easier promotion for you because you got a guy who's considered a bad guy who made a big mistake compared to your fighter?
You know what? Both guys have big fan bases. You definitely hit the nail on the head that, you know, a lot of people are upset that there's no boxing in Las Vegas on Cinco de Mayo. It's really the biggest boxing weekend in Las Vegas, and it's not Triple G's fault. We tried to save the date at the MGM Grand Arena. We moved it from T-Mobile to the MGM Grand, but it was just we ran into such a short time frame that we had to move it into L.A. You know, it's one of those things where I think in the rematch, if that happens, the gloves are off. You know, Triple G was very critical of Canelo. Again, we agree with your assessment. We thought that he should have gotten the decision for sure. The way HBO scored it, 8 rounds to 4 is exactly how we scored it. Mm-hmm. And the fans were demanding the rematch. Now, with Triple G being critical of Canelo and Canelo firing back at Triple G on social media, the fans realize that these guys aren't friends anymore. The first promotion was very respectful. They had trained together, they had sparred together, but this time the gloves are off, literally. And when that fight happens, these guys are both going to go for the knockout. So 100% focused on May 5, but if there's a way to make that down the road, we'll definitely try to bring that back to Las Vegas.
We're wrapping it up with Triple G's promoter, Tom Loeffler, who joins us on Fox Sports Radio. Finally, Tom, what is Triple G's legacy currently today? He's one of the greatest fighters we've seen over the last decade, but I really think Canelo is going to define him. And I think after he beats Canelo, I think he's the stronger and better fighter. And then there's probably other fighters as he's getting older that he should fight, unlike Floyd Mayweather, who picked and chose and waited out fighters and didn't seem to want to fight the best of the best at the right time. As you promote Triple G, take a look into the crystal ball if you can. It's tough in that sport. Over the next 2 to 3 years and how active you want your fighter to be.
Well, Triple G's legacy really is becoming defined right now. He's going for his 20th middleweight championship title defense. That's would tie the record. If he's successful May 5, it would tie the record of the great Bernard Hopkins, which most people thought that record would never be touched. If Triple G can tie that and then break that record against Canelo Alvarez, that would be huge. I don't know if his legacy is going to be defined by Canelo, but certainly those would be the two highest profile fights that both fighters, frankly, would be in. And it's they're almost tied together. They both have tremendous fan bases, but when they fight each other, we set the record for the third highest gate in boxing history. If you can imagine that, it was a tremendous promotion, and the rematch would be even bigger. But you know, the fight fans in Southern California, they get to see Triple G fight. We're going to have Chocolatito as the co-feature on the HBO broadcast, and it'll be a fun weekend. Cinco de Mayo here in L.A., and hopefully we can bring Triple G as soon as possible back up to Vegas if he's successful. May fight against Bonas Martirosyan.
Thank you, Tom. Whatever we can do to help you promote the upcoming fight, and obviously when you get close to the Vegas fight with Canelo, to get you in studio and talk more about it. I know it was a busy day with the decision. Thanks for your time.
Absolutely. Look forward to coming in the studio.
Thank you very much. Tom Loeffler, the promoter for Triple G. He's got a pretty big job. He's got one of the best fighters in the world. And this is really important to me. I was following a lot of boxing insiders today on social media. Kevin Ioli, Ed Graney from across the hall really ripped this decision really hard. And I understand where Ed's coming from. Because if you're going to let fighters, and Kevin Ioli wrote about it in depth at Yahoo, you've got to have random drug testing for boxers. And there has to be firm suspensions when boxers cheat. Graney on Twitter, at Ed Graney. Memo to the Nevada Commission. If you're not going to respect the process of drug testing, don't be a farce and have the process. Stop drug testing people. Most fans don't care anyway, so stop with the charade. You want a clean sport. It's a joke. Typically, Canelo should have been suspended for a full year because of two failed drug tests. I believe that this fight is so big that the commission weighed on the side of strongly penalizing Canelo in regards to random testing coming up, trying to find a way to clean up his image as a dirty fighter so they can promote this fight. And another thing, as a boxing guy, I'm not an MMA guy, I'm a boxing guy here, that this is a disaster for this year in boxing. If you look at boxing in a calendar year, if you don't get Triple G Canelo in 2018, I could care less about Anthony Joshua and some of the heavyweights that are fighting here. Triple G Canelo is the biggest fight. It's a Vegas money machine, and we just lost it. So hopefully Triple G wins his next fight in Los Angeles, and then the bad blood gets going, and we get moving on that. All right, so a little boxing and hockey to start us off. Again, 18 minutes into the show, not a hockey fan on hold. I go irate because I think you hockey fans should take advantage of this format. Other shows nationally and locally do not talk hockey. I do, and I take calls. Heard a guy on the radio today say, I don't take calls anymore on my show. I just don't want to. I almost fell out of my car. We interact with fans in Vegas. We expect to hear from you. Coming off the sweep, and I don't believe in the brooms, Bobby. I saw the brooms coming out, and I said, don't poke the grizzly bear. Act like you've been there before. And I just tweeted out, like an amateur, the picture of the giant broom at New York Statue of Liberty. Y'all did it. Raise your hand if you did it. At JT the Brick, retweet that. And the broom feels really good after the fact. No doubt about that. So coming up next, Frank Harnish will join us. We'll talk to Frank about his journey with this broadcast team and what it's been like so far. Expectations. Frank's in studio, so we'll take your calls. And we'll get into what the next matchup looks like, the next possible opponent. And when are they going to play? I need to make plans. When do they have games? I need weekend hockey or I can't go. Can you get me a Saturday or Sunday game, please? I want to go.
Well, his experience winning three Stanley Cups, being with the Pittsburgh Penguins for all those years, and we knew when we got him, we got a superstar goaltender. We knew that, and he's carried our team a lot. But again, he makes our team better. But our guys are real confident, and it all started the first 10 games of the season when we were 8-2. So he's a big part of our group.
Gerard Gallant, head coach of the Vegas Golden Knights. JT, back with you, courtesy of Golden Gaming. Head on out to the new look and the local feel at the Stratosphere. Wait till you see what's happening for night fans at PT's, all the Sierra Golds, all the great locations. SG Bar, my bar, right here up at the corner here, right at the 215 and Flamingo. Night fans are coming in droves, and we really appreciate that. Frank Harness joins us, the host of the VGK Insider Show, pre and post. And Frank, good to talk to you. We were talking before we came back. A lot of long hours, a lot of long nights for you, either at the arena or here when they're on the road. But in your career, this has got to be one of the most fulfilling things you've ever been a part of.
No, it's without a doubt the greatest thing I've ever done. And like last night after the game, I went home and I watched the replay of the game again, and then I watched NHL Network to see them break down the game and all that. So it's just been absolutely incredible. What a great ride it's been so far. I hope it continues on for three more rounds. And, you know, with your sponsors there, I thought it was interesting. I wish that they would change the name to Sierra Black and Gold right now for the next few weeks.
No doubt. I mean, what I'm seeing with the fans, and again, from being in the studio most of the nights, when I'm watching and then I get out, I was in a sports book last night, and I was at one of the PTs, and to see the crowds locked into TVs and not typically talking to each other, really caring about the sport as they're growing with the sport. This town's getting a bad rap around the country and around Canada for being a non-hockey town, but I think people that do the deep dive realize there were a lot of hockey fans already here in Vegas that have a deep history with the sport.
Yeah, a lot of people have been, I've been out here for 30 years. One thing that I've heard from hockey fans all the time is how much they wish it was back here. The Thunder started it off. The Wranglers had a really good thing going on. There's a lot of people that are lifetime hockey fans, then a lot of novice fans coming in as well. And I agree with you. You go to any bar, and that one thing that's amazed me throughout this season, because we're always on location at different places during the season for the road games, and you see the people and they're looking at the TV and they're chanting Go Knights Go and beat LA in the first series, and that like they're actually at the game. Sometimes I kind of chuckle to myself and I want to say, you know, they can't hear you, but I love the passion and everything.
Well, we have a lot to talk about. We're going to mix in some calls too. If you want to call in and talk to Frank, get online here, 876-1340. Michael, start us off on the Knights flagship. Go ahead.
It's just been a miracle season. It's like a team of destiny, you know, with I think the whole Vegas Strong, you know, that opening night game has just really galvanized this community behind this team, and it's just been an incredible run. And you know, I'll be honest, I was a little skeptical of our team the way they kind of finished off the season, but they really have turned up another level in the playoffs, and it's exciting.
Yeah,
I mean,
thanks.
It's just everywhere you go. I mean, I got the stickers on the back of all my vehicles, and I would say probably five or six times just sitting at a stoplight in the last week or two, I've had somebody roll down their window and, you know, make some comments, and I mean, the town's just gone crazy.
Thanks for the phone call, Michael. I appreciate it. Let's go back to the first game and the fact of 1 October and how this franchise understood it wasn't about them. It wasn't about the first game ever. It wasn't about me, the team. It was about the fans. Take us back to that night.
Yeah, it's interesting. That night, we were actually doing the final preseason game. We were at T-Mobile Arena. Then we were doing the postgame show from the beer house. And as I was driving home, I started getting all these texts from people. And they asked me if I was okay, this, that, and the other. And I had no idea what was going on. My brother called me and said, oh, you haven't heard? Turn on the news. I stayed up for about 4 or 5 hours just mesmerized because I couldn't take my eyes off the TV. At that point, Vegas needed a rallying cry. And the Golden Knights were here. And the Golden Knights needed Vegas because these players were coming here from all over the country. Derek England was the only one from Vegas. And it's like everything just perfect symmetry. They came together. They started going to the blood bank drives, to the first responders, to the police, to the fire department, to everything else. And they galvanized the community, and the community at that point accepted them. And the love affair and everything else just started. And then to get off to that start, to win the game in Dallas that nobody thought they could win. They win that one on the road. Then they beat Arizona and Arizona. Then Derek England, the guy who's known as the fighter, who hasn't been in one fight this year, but has become a much more mature, better all-around hockey player who played for the Wranglers in the ECHL years ago. He becomes one of the team leaders and the faces of the community, and everything just spearheaded from that moment on. And the storybook beginning continues to go on right now. I just hope it has the storybook ending.
Yeah, it looks like it is, the way we're rolling here. Frank Harness joins us in studio, host of VGK Insider, pre and post. And you know, Frank, that's what blows me away about this team is how they win. There hasn't been a game that's left out that we haven't seen. It's the shootouts, the overtimes, the games where they trail early. They hold on in some games. But going back to the win against the Kings and how this happened, I mean, did you, you talk to insiders and you see them and follow the sport closely. I mean, no one had this many games going under and it being this tight and 1-0 and incredible. What does that do to a team when they win a sweep 4-0, but they win games that way against a physical team?
Well, just to talk to your point there, Vegas didn't have a 1-0 win the entire season. And then they had two of them in this series.
Yeah.
Marc-Andre Fleury was the best player on the ice. The second best player on the ice was Jonathan Quick.
Absolutely.
They found ways to win in different ways. If you want to try to hit them hard and play the physical game, they can do that. If you want the speed game, they actually blow most teams off the ice. The thing about this team is they have four lines. And Gerard Gallant says all the time, I'm not worried about matchups. When it's the next lineup, they go up and they do the stuff. They had seven goals in this series. If you would have said it was a four-game sweep and Vegas had seven goals, you would have said, oh, they got swept, huh?
Yeah.
Well, they won every one of them by one goal apiece. And the seven goals by seven different players. This team is deep, it's talented, and they fight for each other.
Anthony on the flagship on Fox Sports Radio. Go ahead, Anthony.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, thanks.
I'll tell you, the way this team has played this entire year from, like you were mentioning, T-Mobile after the October 1 shootings. I was there with my brother, and it blows my mind how much that this team has been able to bond with the city and how the city has responded to the team. It's been that amazing positive outlet that they needed. Mm-hmm. And last night was just another chapter added to this amazing story that I feel is just going to continue into late June. I mean, my brother was texting me like crazy when the final horn sounded with Vegas getting the sweep, and it was really just too sweet. That victory was amazing, and I don't want this ride to end. I just don't want it to end.
Thanks for the call. Excellent phone call. I got a tweet here about 30 minutes ago from Matthew, who says, as you know, Brick, my position is ABV, anybody but Vegas. A franchise fan base should go through pain and misery along the playoff road before lifting the cup like the rest of us. And I predicted that, I think, before anybody has here, that it's going to get brutal going forward here. And we've had some guests on to talk about this. That's how long they've been waiting in Vancouver, how long they've been waiting in Toronto, how long these droughts have been. San Jose is the perfect team, Frank, because I thought they should have won at least two of the cups in the last decade that the Kings won. I thought they were just as good as the Kings over the last decade. Talk about this potential matchup and how it favors the Knights or what you're concerned about.
Well, what I'm concerned about is everybody thinks that San Jose is like Anaheim and LA, that they're a heavy hitting physical team, and they are to a certain extent, but they also have some young talent there. They're not just Burns and Pavelski and the other guys that we see. Joe Thornton might come back for this series. They have some young talent with Timo Meier and some other guys as well, so they're quicker and faster than people give them credit for. They still play like some of the other California teams, but they also have some of the speed in that, like Vegas does. And to comment on that person's tweet, and I understand what he's saying, but to say that we haven't suffered, the diehard fans, I left Chicago 30 years ago. One of the biggest things I missed in Chicago was hockey. So while I haven't suffered through a team losing, I've suffered through not being able to watch hockey
yeah.
professionally and see that. So there's a lot of people out here that moved to Vegas for various reasons. There has been suffering, maybe not the typical way of watching your team lose all the time, but it doesn't mean that hockey fans haven't suffered.
Wrapping it up with Frank Harnish, who joins us here in studio. Great that we could catch up with him after this long ride. And the team's going to have an extended period of time off. And that could be a good thing or a bad thing, because everybody will be critical of that game one. Did they have too much rest? Did Gallant practice enough? Did they get away from it? You know, the Vegas flu with the other teams. What were these guys doing when they had 5-6 days off? What are you hearing from within the organization? What is the plan for this team to stay fresh in the next couple days?
Well, they're still trying to figure everything out. Gerard Gallant all season long has been very good at giving optional skates. The players, younger players, sometimes they'll play a little bit longer. You might see a Perron, a Neal, some of the veteran players not out there doing stuff. I think it'll be a little bit more leisurely, but this team is led by Marc-Andre Fleury. They're built from the goalie out, and Marc-Andre Fleury is such an iconic leader, three Stanley Cups, everything else he's done out there. I think they're going to take their cue from him. He keeps them relaxed in the locker room. Gerard Gallant knows what he's doing. People see expansion team and they think young team. There's some youngsters on this team, but there's a lot of veterans as well. I think they're going to just be fine. And guys like Perron and that who are back in the lineup, Lucas Pisa, who will be coming back soon, I think the rest is going to help them get healthy. The rust versus rest thing, I think the rest for this team could be a plus.
Lastly, I follow my friend Jeremy Roenick, who I've known for years on Twitter and social media, and some other people are now coming to the defense of the Knights for this expansion draft. What's the real story? What are you hearing? The bitterness of fans saying that the team had this advantage to be built. I tweeted back at someone yesterday saying, look, if players were unprotected and they drafted correctly, people forget about the actual draft where they brought in no-name players on top of the players that were unprotected. In hindsight, did Vegas get an advantage that they took advantage of?
You know, I think the key word you said there is in hindsight, because everybody's hindsight, my mom used to tell me, hindsight's 20/20. Nobody thought this team was going to be this good.
Right.
Nobody complained about this till after they started having success and then they reevaluated what went on here. Every expert from every site around, from Fox Sports to everywhere else, said, well, this team will be lucky to win 25-30 right. games. They're going to be challenging Colorado, who also had a very good season, and Arizona for some of the worst teams in the NHL. They're not going to be good at all. And if Marc-Andre Fleury goes down with an injury, then they're completely done. Well, guess what? He went down with an injury. The other goalies came in. They played well enough to keep on winning. The team started believing in themselves. Gerard Gallant believed in himself. I think they are going to tweak the rules a little bit. I don't think Seattle's going to have the same advantage should they be that 32nd team. But nobody cried about this. I love how people cry after the fact. If it was such an unfair advantage, how come nobody, not even Nostradamus, saw this beforehand?
Yeah, wrapping it up with Frank, that's the way I look at it. We're living in a moment now. I live in the moment in my life much more than I do on radio, where I'm thinking about the next show and what to do. And I just think that now everybody has to live in this moment. No criticism. Everybody just focus on what's happening here, because it's different in a first season, inaugural season. It's going to be 2 years from now, 4 years from now, if this team goes through a slump and they're under 500, people are going to remember year one. This is a moment that rarely happens, especially in what was a small town with no professional sports in Las Vegas. And now you have a story like this. Congratulations on all your success with this and keep it going. And you're going to have some long post-game shows here over the next couple of weeks, I hope.
Yeah, we do the 90-minute post-game show, but it's all great and enjoying the ride so far. And by the way, again, for all those people that are complaining about it, if everybody knew this, did anybody know William Karlsson was going to score over 40 goals this year? He had six last year. He had four shorthanded goals alone this year. Gerard Gallant has put people up. You can set people up in life for success or for failure. Gallant's found a way to put them in the right instance where they can succeed. They've taken it. They've run with it. Congratulations. I hope it continues.
Yeah, we've known each other a long time, dating back to my first run here in the 90s. And again, I talked about this with Zig and our boss, Tony Bonici. No one saw this coming. No one thought we'd be in a flagship studio doing local hockey coverage with a team that won 4-0 against a team that won 2 recent cups and advancing with maybe a week off. This is a dream season, and I'm happy you're a part of it.
Yeah, and you know, the only person that I can say that that might have thought saw this coming, the night after the expansion draft, we interviewed Marc-Andre Fleury from the Armory down at T-Mobile the next day. We told him Bill Foley's vision of playoffs in 3, cup in 6. Marc-Andre Fleury looked at us and said, why wait so long? Why can't we win right now? I think he's the one person who saw that lineup and knew what he was capable of and said, I'm not waiting around 3 to 6 years to try to win a cup. He believed in it. The team believes in themselves. And all the media talking against him, I think they've used that as a rallying cry.
Thanks, Frank. Appreciate you coming in.
Always great. Always love listening to you. Love being on the show.
Thank you. Frank Harness joining us. Check him out at 2 o'clock. And then, obviously, pre- and post-game. When we get more times and when they set up the next round of the series, we'll get into that. The viewing parties. I keep telling everyone, go to PT's. It's a great place to watch hockey. And they have all these great April promotions. And I think it's safe to say my buddy Ross and other friends are going to be promotions into May. Into May, Cinco de Mayo around the corner. Maybe we don't need Triple G Canelo. Maybe we have the Vegas Golden Knights playing deep into May.
And there's a drive to left field. This is high and deep. Is it number 3 of the night? Yes, it is. Over the bullpens. Home run number 3 tonight for Mookie Betts. He has 5 on the year as he hits Bedrosian's second pitch out. 10-1 Red Sox. Mookie's third career 3-home run game.
Yeah, it takes us about 40 minutes to get to baseball because we have the Golden Knights on the flagship. Welcome back, JT the Brick Show. Big show coming up at the top of the hour as Tom Looney joins me at 5 o'clock. We have Mr. Michael Lee, the senior insider for Yahoo in the NBA. Dan Shaughnessy of the Boston Globe, four-time world boxing champion Adrian Broner. And we'll just get into what's happening with the NBA playoffs. LeBron is playing tonight, which means the whole world stops, and it's all about LeBron. Again, there will be a media vacuum like I haven't seen in 22 years on the radio if LeBron can't get out of the first round. There are so many lazy members of the media that wake up every day with the same lazy old take on LeBron James. It's all about LeBron being great. Then when he's not great, they flip and say, oh my God, is he losing it? It's embarrassing. And we saw that today. I'll get to that coming up on Tom Brady. You know, all of a sudden Brady's a bad guy because he's not reporting for voluntary workouts. If you were married to Gisele Bündchen, a Brazilian supermodel, would you show up in New England for volunteer workouts, or would you work out in Maui or in Brazil and run on the sand and go have dinner with your Brazilian supermodel? But Adam Schefter tweets something out today, and it's like fish frenzy. It's like dropping fish food in, and everybody goes, lazy, 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 I can do Tom Brady. We're going to touch on it today, but I don't believe in all the conspiracy theories that are out there. One thing I think is a really compelling topic is what Anthony Rizzo said of the Cubs in regards to shortening the baseball season. I got a lot of reaction on this. I'll read some of the responses on Twitter. Should we shorten Major League Baseball season? Rizzo, before I play these sound bites, remember, he went to high school in Lakeland, Florida, where the shooting was. He spent a lot of the spring training back there trying to help that community heal. I think he's a really sharp kid, but he's getting a little bit of pushback now wanting to play more doubleheaders and less games.
I'd rather play doubleheaders in general. I think in the perfect world, we'd start the season later and schedule a few scheduled doubleheaders going into an off day. So like I always say, I just play first base.
So the issue that Rizzo is getting a lot of interaction on is the fact that he thinks we should go from 162 games to whatever it is, 140, 150. We wouldn't have the problem we're having this year with starting baseball games in April and snowstorms. We wouldn't have that. We'd be able to move the season back. It would be starting around now. Okay, so look at you. This is when we'd start baseball, right now this week, instead of at the end of March, where the weather and the snow in Detroit and Cleveland and New York are snowing and raining out all these games. But what about the contracts? Because if you're going to play less games, the players have to take a little bit of a pay cut.
I think it's too much baseball, personally. Yes, guys are going to take pay cuts, but are we playing this game for the money or we love the game? I know there's both, but I think in the long run, it'll make everything better. You know, starting the season later in the year, ending in October and not November.
So I wanted to get your reaction. If you could please go, if you're on Facebook, most people are, billions of people, follow me on JT the Brick and look at this thread. I have about 50, 60 responses on how we can fix baseball. And the quick thing that I want to say out of the gate, it's not the fault of the kids. Rob Manfred, the commissioner of baseball, is in Puerto Rico tonight where Cleveland is playing Minnesota. And Puerto Rico went through the hurricane, and kids are going to this game for free. They have unique packages to sell baseball in Puerto Rico. But I was trying to think about what is the problem for these kids. I have 16 and 14-year-old sons that played baseball up until they were about 14 or 15. If I could get a do-over in life, it would be being a baseball dad. I would. I wasn't a sideline Saddam. I didn't yell at umps. I didn't do that. I didn't have to be removed from the ballpark. But growing up with a dad who was all baseball, literally all baseball, and where my kids came into it, it was too much baseball, too much, too quick, and it burnt them both out to the point where I wish they were playing today as they're playing football. And I was putting up on this thread, what's the problem? The problem is us, the parents, if you have kids and you're between the age of 30 and 50 years old. The parents are getting lazier and lazier than ever. We're living in a time now where parents are letting their kids play video games longer and longer. Fact, not fiction. Okay, this is a fact. Because growing up when you were a kid, you didn't have the games that they have today. You didn't have the ability to interact with kids on. Kids can now talk on their headsets, so they don't have to take their bike and go play video games at their buddy's house. They can just talk on their headset. And less kids are going to baseball games. And parents aren't turning the TVs off, grabbing the gloves, taking kids out there. Of course, we're signing kids up for baseball and T-ball and all that. I get that. But I'm trying to figure out how do we get more kids to go to games. Now, in Vegas, it's tough. We don't have a major league team yet. And if you go to the 51s and you enjoy it, fantastic. It's going to be unbelievable in their new ballpark. But I threw this out around the country, and the overwhelming response to me was prices. That was it. It's all an economic issue. People are saying it's too expensive even to go to baseball and to park and to eat and be a part of more than a couple of games. And, you know, James Grutton goes in and says, JT, more day games. Kids used to be able to come home from school and watch baseball every day of the year. Darren Vaughn says, good luck, JT. My kids have a hard time listening to baseball without tuning it out. Baseball has one intriguing star, Bryce Harper. And a lot of this goes back to fans that just don't. Here's another one. Don Crouch says, lower the drinking age. Well, I don't think that might get more adults in the ballpark. I think that'll get more adults or 18-year-olds in the ballpark, but it's not going to get more kids. And I think Rizzo's on to something. I grew up with the stats of 162 games. I like comparing the stats of Willie Mays to Bryce Harper, from Mickey Mantle to Chris Bryant. But I don't think that's going to be sustainable. I think 162 is probably too much, and we don't have the attention span. And the dirty little secret is that the NBA is taking over baseball. For every four radio segments of LeBron, there's half a segment on baseball. So baseball's fighting an uphill battle where Oakland last night let everyone in for free. Everyone. On the 50th anniversary of the A's. The 50th anniversary, they were drawing flies going into that game, under 8,000 a game. Last night, 50,000 people came out there for a gimmick, free baseball. So I'm concerned for baseball, and how do we get the kids involved? Let me know via Facebook at JT the Brick or at 876-1340. When we come back, we'll get to the fake news of the day. Well, it had nothing to do with politics. Had nothing to do with the Oval Office. It had everything to do with an NFL quarterback who does the right thing. But fake content, rumors, and gossip fuel the NFL in the offseason, along with a couple of drug busts, some felony charges. We'll get into that next when we come back. You're listening to Fox.
Not having as much say in that affect how you feel about wanting to be here? Or
I know my role, and that's to play quarterback the best that I can, and the team is going to try and put the right guys in place, the right coaches in place, the right players in place, and you just have to trust the process. This process works, and it has worked for Mike for a number of years. Obviously, that's why he's still here in his 13th season. We've had a lot of success here, and got to trust the process.
Well, that's Aaron Rodgers, and we're wondering out loud, is he becoming one of the divas? What is he trying to say? He's talking the way Greg Popovich talks, when Popovich tries to send a message lightly. And when Aaron Rodgers threw in there, trust the process is a joke. The process is Philadelphia losing for year after year after year, tanking on purpose, and then finally winning. So I don't know what to take of Aaron Rodgers right now going forward. He's pretty upset that Jordy Nelson moved on to the Raiders. This has stayed with him the entire offseason.
It's a professional environment, but as humans, we have personal connections to people. And obviously, you know, he was one of my closest friends in the locker room for a number of years and played together for a long time and talked about, you know, really finishing his career here and together and making the most of the opportunities. That's the disappointment is when you get close to your teammates and they're not here anymore, and especially when they're not here and they're playing somewhere else. But again, the organization's making decisions that they feel like are in the best interest of our team, and you got to trust the process.
More trust the process there in regards to that. That's why I'm surprised Dez Bryant hasn't signed with Green Bay. I thought that Dez Bryant would be a good switch-out move to Jordy Nelson. I think that Jordy Nelson, Michael Crabtree, Dez Bryant, they're all pretty much the same guy, and Dez Bryant's still a young receiver. I'm shocked that Green Bay, unless they know that they're going wide receiver with their first two picks and didn't want Dez, I thought that deal would get done sooner than later. Finally, Adam Schefter, the elite NFL insider from ESPN, got everybody going today in regards to his news on Tom Brady. And when he woke up today and put out the tweet on Tom Brady, it's getting interesting. More on the fact that Patriots quarterback Tom Brady still has not committed to playing in the 2018 season. So this has put everybody into a tizzy on a breakup between Belichick and Brady. I've been doing this a long time. I could be wrong, and you know where to find me. Brady is probably the best professional football player in regards to the way he conducts his business than anyone I've ever seen, ever. And he became the greatest quarterback of all time because of his dedication on and off the field. So for people to look to drive a wedge between Brady and Belichick, you know, that's not like driving a wedge between Jameis Winston and Dirk Cutter. But again, that's how the world turns with the Patriots. They make news all the time. I think he'll be back, ready to play. He'll win his division. He'll have a bye week and two home playoff games on the way to the Super Bowl. That's how it goes, doesn't it? Thanks to Bobby who put the show together. Thanks to Tom Loeffler, who is Triple G's promoter, and Frank Harnish, talking Vegas Golden Knights. Looney joins me here in a few minutes. Head on out to PT Sierra Gold. Get to that SG. The food is incredible. If you haven't tried the food, get to the SG bar. I think the menu and the drink specials will blow you away. Have a great night, everybody. Looney joins me in about 6 or 7 minutes.